Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we go into part two of our expansion draft, to kind of get us back into the flow of it. We're talking about a potential expansion draft where Adam and I have our own expansion franchises with differing cities, but only one team in the expansion draft, plucking away players from the NBA landscape underneath the proper, collective bargaining agreement rules and regulations. We've already talked about the Eastern Conference. We'll recap that really quickly before we jump back in as we talk about the Western Conference. But let me first introduce, after myself, Adam, Andrew Reich, who almost said the wrong name. I was going to introduce my co-host, Adam Murray. Are you still there, Adam Murray?
That was the long, fumbled intro there.
That was really bad. That was really, really bad.
But just to recap, the NBA is known for doing weird things. Hey, LA Clippers, your owner needs to sell you within 30 days or we're taking over. So we said, what if they said, you have 30 days, we're starting a new expansion team right now.
And we have no draft picks.
Yeah, where you've done your picks, you've done everything, well, we're just going to, you need to now have an expansion draft. Players, go.
Wasn't the usual rule with the first year of the expansion franchise that they get one first-round pick and one second unless they make a deal?
Well, the thing was they were able to make any deals they sort of wanted, so we would have cases of,
They would trade bad contracts to them that they wanted off their books because they had the extra cap to use, but they would give them draft picks with it.
Yeah, here's a second-round pick. Take this guy instead of that. This guy we sort of like, but we have to expose him. Don't take him. Here's a second-round pick. Because in theory, Seattle, Las Vegas can cut whomever, and there doesn't count towards their books. So, it would – let's say – you have the worst contract of all time. Joe Johnson passed his prime.
Oh, well, Pekovic.
Okay, Pekovic.
That was a long cough, huh?
We could take him and then, we could just cut him. Well, he's not on our books anymore. He's not on Minnesota's book anymore. So, Hey, here's a second round pick. Please take Pekovic. We get, he's off our books. You don't have to pay him. But we're sort of keeping it simple. Everybody you're taking, you're intended to keep. Because Charlotte, I believe, kept four of their players they drafted. And it was just like, well, there's a reason you're bad. You have an expansion draft. You take nobody. You utilize absolutely nobody.
Let me ask you this. If, for example, I picked more players out of the Western Conference than in the East, because in your case it looks like you will, because you picked four players out of the Eastern Conference. I picked about glancing at it, I picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them out of my 14 slots, which is even. Does that necessarily mean that you think that the Western Conference players are better, or is it just more of like a blackjack thing where you gamble on certain players being exposed and you felt like certain players from the Western Conference that certain players fit better for the roster that you wanted, and it just so happened that those players came from the West.
It's
not necessarily that the West is better.
Fall.
Yeah.
And also, you have to sort of get in the mindset of a team. If we're a team who wants to make the playoffs, well, we need to keep our veterans. So we might let younger players go. Well, we're a young team who's really going nowhere. We need to keep our pick who sort of underachieved last year, but we'll sort of let these other guys go because we want to look for the future. And there's a whole balance. It has nothing to do with East versus West. It's just sort of the players.
And financials. Yeah, it has a lot to do we have this amount of players that will be expiring at this point, and we can't afford all of them at one time. Maybe we could just let them go. Like, we could let this one potentially go and take that problem off of our hands and run the risk of losing him for nothing.
Exactly.
It gets a little complicated, but we're actually going to just jump right in on the Western Conference. Do you find it weird, Adam Murray, that they literally have six NBA teams that start before the letter D and they're all from the Eastern Conference?
That's why I was having issues. I'm like, where does my spreadsheet start?
We need to balance this out. Can we rename one of the Western Conference cities with like A, B, or C? Kind of like to.
Well, let's just.
Is there any way we can get this approved by the government?
Here we go. Expansion team will be in Albuquerque.
Legally we can't do it in Las Vegas because they couldn't pass the gambling rule.
Or so now the Alameda County.
Okay, so the new so it's been officially announced by the NBA Board of Governors that I do not have an expansion, that your expansion team has moved from Las Vegas to now Albuquerque, New Mexico. How about that?
We've moved to Albuquerque or
the Albuquerque Albatrosses. All right, so now
if we want to stay with the gambling, Atlantic City as much as whatever's left.
Okay, Atlantic. Okay, the Atlantic City FanDuels. Is Atlantic City in – where is it, Atlantic City? Okay, then how do you – okay. So that actually makes sense because I had a Western – well, Seattle is a Western Conference. Like, they were in the Western Conference when the Sonics were there, and it makes sense location-wise. I always found it weird that Oklahoma City was in the same division as, you know – Minnesota, obviously, yes. But, like, Oklahoma City is in the same division as Portland and Denver and Utah.
Well, we could also – who says we can't redraw divisions after this? NBA is weird like that.
Well, you have to now because when they added Charlotte, it actually was almost by necessity because it allowed allowed even realignment. You know, same thing with Houston when they went to when the NFL expanded to Houston, it gave them the potential to even out the divisions with perfectly finite realignment so that everybody had the same number of teams.
Yeah, finding that perfect realignment with Dallas in the East.
And we as Saints fans, you and I, we were in the fucking NFC West where we had to play the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers every year.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was freaking ridiculous. And then the Rams moved to St. Louis and we got to go to St. Louis every year. It was ridiculous. But enough about harping about the Saints because we have a whole lot of a season to do that. So let's talk about the Atlantic City. The FanDuel.
Acapulco?
That's your team. That's your team, which has the four Eastern Conference players, which are Michael Carter-Williams, Ish Smith, Justin Hamilton from the Brooklyn Nets, and Tyler Zeller from your Boston Celtics. So you kept one of your own, I guess. And for me, I also picked Michael Carter-Williams and Tyler Zeller, but I also have Trey Burke from the Washington Wizards, Jeremy Lamb from the Charlotte Hornets, Rashawn Holmes from the Philadelphia 76ers, Boban Marjanovic, who had just signed with Detroit, and I also took Chris Bosh. It was kind of like the main event of the whole podcast, whether or not someone was going to actually take the chance on Chris Bosh and if the Miami would even expose him, which they wound up doing. But now we jump in with the Dallas Mavericks. They only have two unrestricted free agents on the board. Andrew Bogut, whose contract they had actually gotten in a trade with the Warriors when they were dumping salary to get Durant. And then they have Darren Williams, who re-signed for 1 year, $9 million. Everybody else is out in the open. So let's get to protecting here on – because to kind of reevaluate, we have eight slots that we can protect where we can protect players for these franchises. So everybody else is potentially could be picked. So let's start. Dirk Nowitzki.
Protected. Harrison Barnes protected. Wesley Matthews protected. Dwight Powell protected. That's their core.
All right. No regrets on Wesley Matthews with that contract?
Well, now it's sort of $17 million. It would have been $20, $21 nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm not trying to poo-poo on Wesley Matthews. I'm just not really sure about him. You know, that's all. You know, I know he came back from the Achilles, and an Achilles injury is major. I mean, it usually takes over a year. And he had torn his Achilles in, like, April or March of 2015, and that takes literally a year to recover from. So maybe it's okay to take a flyer on that one. And then it gets interesting. We already talked about four spots, we said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, four, so we got four left. Dwight Powell, yes.
Yep, he's the fourth.
He's a decent – he's not a bad contract, and he's a big. J.J. Barea.
I would say no on him.
Okay.
Because you have J.J. Barea and Devin Harris.
So
They're both – you know, Barea's 32, has 3 years left. Harris is 33 with 2 years left.
Okay.
They're sort of both the same player, I think.
All right, Justin Anderson, yes.
Do you definitely keep him?
Seth Curry.
Seth Curry I would keep.
Okay. So are you exposing both Devin Harris and J.J. Barea?
I am keeping Devin Harris.
Okay.
Because, you know, Dallas is looking for a playoff spot still. They still mm-hmm. think they can make it. And I think, well, we need a backup point guard. Devin Harris is still reliable. Not spectacular, but a reliable.
And also, Darren Williams might leave. Like, it's not that it's – he probably won't because I guess they – Darren Williams feels like he owes Dallas for overpaying him when now that he's in the twilight of his career. Or basically picking him up when nobody wanted him, I guess. You know, and it's his hometown. But say, for example, Darren Williams does leave in free agency, then you still got Devin Harris as a backup.
Devin Harris and Seth Curry. So that leaves us with Quincy Acey, Sal Amiri, who might not play because he tore his something or another in the qualifying tournament. I don't even know if his contract is guaranteed.
Oh, I didn't know Majiri hurt himself. That's news to me, actually.
Jonathan Gibson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and A.J. Hammonds are left.
Yeah, those are undrafted. Well, A.J. Hammonds was a second-round pick, and the other ones were undrafted rookies. So by doing the math, are you protecting one of those players between AC and Majiri and Hammonds and Gibson?
I am protecting Hammonds.
Okay,
as
okay.
They seem to be high on him, and
okay,
you need some sort of youth movement, so
mm-hmm.
Barea was the odd man out over Harris.
Okay, I went ahead and I just protected both Harris and Barea, and I just let Hammonds like out in the open. I don't think they would pick him in. I don't think an expansion team would pick him anyway. But mine was a little bit simpler than yours, but I do like the bravery there with letting J.J. Barea out there just in case, because he is 32 years old and he signed a 4-year contract, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know, if this were the case, all these, you know, Mark Cuban would be doing this for other teams too. So, like, okay, I think Carter Williams might be exposed or Trey Burke. Well, they would take those guys over JJ. So I think we can put a point guard out because the point guard list is deep.
That's true. So, you know, you look at the landscape of it and you say,
everything is just a calculated risk.
But here's the thing. You can't just go out in the open and say, well, we know JJ Barea is not that valuable. Like, you can't do that. So it's kind of more of a covert type of, well, we'll just leave him out there, but we know nothing's gonna come of it.
Him.
Yeah,
you try to play
favorites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Denver Nuggets is a little bit interesting because
that's a tough one. This one
they have no unrestricted free agents. Even Mike Miller got a 2-year contract, even though the second year I'm not so sure about. Danilo Gallinari is also going to have to be on the protected list because he's actually got 2 more years on his contract. Even though at $15 million a year, Danilo Gallinari is a really good value deal. But let's just run down the line. I'm going to basically wind up saying the whole roster. Danilo Gallinari, Kenneth Faried, Wilson Chandler, who was out the entire year last year, but he's still got 3 years left on his contract. Daryl Arthur, who they just re-signed. Jameer Nelson, Will Barton, Mike Miller, Emmanuel Mudiay, Jamal Murray, and Juan Hernan Gomez, who were there, and Malik Beasley were their rookies. Yosef Nurkic, Jeffrey Laverne, who we just saw play for France in the Olympics, and Nikola Jokic, who I believe we just saw play for Serbia, right, in the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got all the way up there.
That's a long list of people, and
Gary Harris. I forgot to mention Gary Harris.
That's a long list.
It's a lot of people, so you only have 8 slots. So guess what? Guess what we're doing here, Adam? We're not going by, like, strategy. There's no strategy here, really. It's who are the best players that you want to keep and who are the other players that you want to leave out there in the open. So let's get started. Danilo Gallinari, you got to protect.
You protect him?
Kenneth Faried, even though there are rumblings that he's unhappy in Denver, you can't just leave him out there because if you do, he'll get plucked.
It doesn't matter if he's unhappy. You know, people are like, oh, well, how come he didn't turn on that second gear? Well, he's still, you know, providing. His numbers haven't gone down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I think people were expecting him to go up. And now with, you know, a 3 years, $39 million, that contract is a bargain.
Yes.
So you still keep him?
Wilson Chandler, yes. Like, even though at $12 million a year it's a risk, You know what? I'll take that back. I'll actually take that back. That's to be continued. Will Barton, yes. That's a value deal, and he almost won Sixth Man of the Year.
Mm,
Moutier.
Keep.
Okay, Jamal Murray. Yes.
Save.
Juan Hernan Gomez. Yes.
Save.
Nikola Jokic. Yes.
Save.
Even though Jusuf Nurkić had injuries, I wouldn't let him go.
Gotta save him.
So that leaves us with one more spot. Am I right?
Yep.
Unless you would disagree about Will Barton.
I would. No, we have our. We have Gallinari, Fareed, Moutier, Cousin Jamal, Nurkić, Jokic, and Hernan Gomez. That's seven.
That's seven. So the eighth spot, would you? I mean, I think they'd be fools to let Will Barton go.
Okay.
That's just me, which would leave literally everybody else out in the open. Malik Beasley, one of their rookies, Jameer Nelson, Darrell Arthur, Wilson Chandler, which is why I kind of got skittish about that one, Laverne, and Gary Harris, who they, you know, they still have two more years on a rookie contract. That's dangerous, you know, but
the thing about Gary Harris is he started every game last year.
Yeah, but I think efficiency-wise, he was one of the worser players in the league. But it was because the Nuggets started out so bad, you know?
Well, that's, you know, statistically, Moutier was one of the worst rookies of all time, but doesn't...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it doesn't mean you need to let him go, you know?
I would keep Barton over Harris...
Okay.
I had their names mixed. Denver is a team where I mix up all the players. Nurkić and Jokic, I get mixed up. Harris and Barton, I get mixed up.
And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the only teams where it's going to be a dilemma of which player that's available for either Albuquerque or Seattle to actually pick.
The Acapulco Avocados, you know, Denver sort of knows, like, okay, you know, in prior reality, hey, you know, look, take Jameer Nelson. Here's a second-round pick.
Okay.
But, you know, they know going into this sort of like the same way Milwaukee did. Like, we got too many deep players.
On contract.
We're going to lose somebody.
Okay. And so you're already kind of anticipating.
So I think we agree. Who's left exposed? Arthur, Nelson, Miller, Joffrey, Laverne, Gary Harris, Malik Beasley, and Wilson Chandler.
Okay, so which one would go? Me, personally, I think the top – like if I was in the war room, which I am in my own like Seattle war room, I think my top guy would probably be Gary Harris. Would you agree?
I would say your discussion would start with Wilson Chandler.
Okay, but you got to pay him $12 million a year for three more years.
Yeah, but – the numbers before he got injured, his numbers were, you know, he was good before his year off. And it's sort of the same thing with Chris Bosh is, well, we need, you know, we sort of need a cornerstone player, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we,
and
know.
He does have starting experience in Denver and New York. So you at least got that. So I understand your point of view with between Chandler and Harris, who has gotten starters minutes, but is very unproven, even though he's played 2 years in the NBA. Arthur's a decent player, too. You know, I wouldn't sleep on him either. You know? But that's interesting. That's probably one of the more interesting ones. I think we're going to wind up revisiting one of those players when we get to the end, when we wrap up who we pick. Now, this one's interesting. This is the Golden State Warriors. Have you ever heard of that team?
They're the last expansion team.
You know, actually, the Warriors have been, you know, because they were originally Philadelphia, correct?
Were they?
Yeah, I think they were originally the Philadelphia Warriors, and then they moved to San Francisco. Am I saying that right?
Perhaps. All the teams, I was like, oh, Rochester became...
Because I think Will Chamberlain had his number retired, you know, by the Warriors, because he had played... originally for that franchise. I think so. I'm not absolutely sure about the lineage. Somebody's going to have to tweet me or something and try to correct me about that.
But this Golden State is the easiest team of all. They have nobody.
Well, it's easy, but here's the thing. And this is where we have to discuss the rules.
the rule is that you can protect up to 8 players. The problem for the Warriors, because of this whole, you know, super team formula, where you, what happens when you do a super team formula, and we saw this a lot with Miami, is that you max out the top guys. But what happens is when you max out the top guys, you have to restructure all the contracts underneath, whether they're veteran minimums or very short deals, so that you can refinance against the cap, you know, when Kevin Durant opts out of his player his second year, and then he gets the supermax, and then when Curry gets maxed out. So what it is that they have set up their team to where they have five guys that have contracts that actually go through 2017, but everybody else has only 1 year remaining on their contracts. So Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Zaza Pachulia, Anderson Varejao, David West, Ian Clark, James Michael McAdoo, and then JaVale McGee, who got a training camp roster spot, are all off the table. They're all have contracts that are going to be expiring next summer, so you can't pick them. So
who's left?
That's Goldberg. Goldberg, you remember when it was who's next, and then he just started beating everybody. He just started saying who's left, you know.
Yep.
Well, Kevin Durant will probably use his play. He will probably decline his player option, because there is a antiquated rule in the CBA that if you have 10 plus years of experience or more, then you get a higher percentage out of your max. So he can actually max out at the most by opting out after he plays his 10th year in the NBA, or he goes into his 10th year in the NBA, and he can get what they call the supermax. Is that what they've been calling it lately, the supermax?
Yeah, but
you know
who's left on this team? You got
Durant. So long story short, Durant's not available. Or Durant has to be protected.
Durant is available.
You're right. He's available, but he has to be protected.
So, yeah, okay. Here's that they have under 8 people. Who's left? Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Damian Jones, Patrick McCaw, and Kevon Looney. You have to expose one.
Exactly. The rule is if you have less than 8 players that you can protect, one of them has to be exposed at the minimum. So they can protect 5. They got 6, and they have to protect 5 of them. Okay? Durant, duh. Klay Thompson, duh. Draymond Green, duh. By the way, what happened with Draymond Green in the Olympics? Was it just a bad fit?
I don't know. In theory, he should have been in the all-star of it all.
I know. I thought he would really work out well with the Euro ball, but it just seemed like he did not fit well what Krzyzewski wanted. I don't know. It was really strange. It was just – Thompson is Thompson. You know, Klay, he has those games where he just is – awful shooting the ball, and then he'll have those 2 or 3 games where he just like can't miss, you know.
Yeah, so okay, you got Jones, McCaw, and Looney. Pick one to leave exposed. Odds are none of them are gonna get picked, so.
And so it really comes down to the 3 I get rookie contract guys: Kevon Looney, Damian Jones, and Patrick McCaw. They really like Patrick McCaw. I don't think they're going to let him out in the open. So it comes down to Kevon Looney, who already had an injury issue, and Damian Jones, who they just drafted out of Vanderbilt. So let's discuss this one. Who would you leave unprotected?
It's fairly simple. Kevon Looney. He had hip surgery last year. Word is he's not even better yet. So why would you know, McCaw, he's a shooter, keep him. Jones and Looney, I'll keep.
Yeah, I think that's kind of open and shut too. I think Kevon Looney.
All right, so now we move on to Houston, a.k.a. New Orleans West.
Oh, thank you so much, Houston Rockets, for taking Ryan Anderson.
I will give you 60 seconds to explain why Houston did what they did and gave 4-year deals to those guys.
I don't know why they did it, but I'm glad they did. Here's what I wanted to ask you, because we did not get to talk about this, and we probably will end up talking about this on a future episode. What do you think of the reneg and extend option that a lot of guys have been getting under the new cap. We've seen it already with Russell Westbrook, which was a big story. But what a lot of people didn't talk about is that James Harden got one too. A lot of GMs are biting the bullet a year early, or maybe. I would guess a year early. And what they're doing is they're just renegotiating, tearing up the contracts, like we see all the time in the NFL when they're trying to get under the cap, and they're extending these guys with, you know. But what it is that instead of paying them under the old salary, they're giving them their new blown up salary right away. Like, do you think that's going to be a new trend now that you have this new cap money to try to rip up these old contracts so you don't hurt the star players' feelings?
Well, with the Westbrook thing, don't forget, he will make the way the money came out, it was like fairly even.
And he can opt out for the 10-year plus Supermax at the end of it.
Yeah, but it's only like $4 or $5 million difference. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, Durant where, you know, huge money here, LeBron, huge money here. It was like, oh, it's a couple million here. You know, look, let's just have the security we have now, as opposed to having this whole circus.
And with Harden, it makes sense because he's in his prime now. The way the contract had set up the previous contract was that he was going to be a free agent, I believe, in 2018. And it would have been a really tough decision because you would either have to max him out in 2018 when it's possible that he's already past prime, or you can just renegotiate now, max him out for 3 to 4 years, knowing that he's going to be able to provide you all-star level play, and then at the end you can kind of like reevaluate your options, which is actually it almost saves you cap space down the road.
It does, and you know, probably owners offer that a lot more, but players are like, no, but you know,
now,
it could be
money.
Security.
It's like, hey, do you want $18 million or do you want $26 million? And it's like, well, I want $26 million. Well, here you go. So,
and you know, it comes down to security. Do you want to take that risk next year? And let's say you get injured. And
yes, so James Harden's protected. Anderson and Gordon, they just signed their contracts. They both got 4-year deals. I'm just happy as a pig in shit that they're not with the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not saying Ryan Anderson was a bad player. He was just, you know, I just couldn't make sense out of anything he was doing. You know, it was like they gave him $20 million or 18.7 to start, but it goes up to 20 in the later years. It's just I don't understand the numbers there.
Nope. And the two players out of the list are Nene and Michael Beasley.
Yeah, well, you got Harden, Ryan Anderson.
Harden, Anderson, Gordon.
Trevor Ariza, yeah, I would say. Patrick Beverly, yes.
Okay. KJ McDaniels, I'd say yes to.
I would say no to KJ McDaniels. He's outside, on the outside. And I know where the disconnect is because there's a couple of younger players that I would protect, but that you might be willing to let out there.
Also, KJ McDaniels, I don't have any backup to Patrick Beverly.
Well, yeah, it's true. It's Paolo Prigioni, who's going to be 40 years old at the end of his contract. That's unbelievable. Eric Gordon can't play the one. This is very well known. That's just a problem for Houston in general. Like, that's not a problem for Houston in this fantasy expansion. That's just a problem, period. Like, they don't have a backup point guard. That's unbelievable to me. Clint Capella, I would protect absolutely.
Protect easily. So that leaves us with, we have KJ McDaniels, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Corey Brewer, Chinonu Awaku, and okay, Pablo Prigioni's out.
Okay, I have no problem with Corey Brewer being exposed.
Me too. Him and Ariza are sort of the same player.
He's in his 30s. He's got this reputation as a glue guy, but his PER last year was just awful, which is the sign that, you know, a player of his caliber is like kind of fallen to the wayside. And he's getting paid $7 million a year. I would just leave him out in the open and see if someone will take him. I liked what I saw out of Sam Decker in summer league. I know the back injury kept him out of the whole year, but I would take a flyer on him. And Montrezl Harrell, I know he had the incident in the D League, but I don't know. For some reason, I just don't want to let Montrezl Harrell walk away. Because I think if he's out there, someone will take him.
See, I got Decker too, but I kept McDaniels over Montrez.
Okay. So I have KJ out there, and you have Montrez out there, which actually, you know, and the other ones, Onuwaku, Prigioni, I mean, Corey Brewer, yeah, like I that makes sense to me that they're not, you know, that they're available. Like, it makes sense to me. Let's talk about the LA Clippers.
Easy.
The way it works out, it does. I literally wound up protecting people that I didn't even know I had to protect. But let's talk about the unrestricted free agents for the Clippers next year, because you and I really like the Clippers next year as a tease to our, you know, season preview. We liked them a lot more than we thought we would. But their unrestricted free agents are going to be J.J. Redick, still a good player, even though it's not a point to this whole discussion. Raymond Felton and Brandon Bass and Alan Anderson were all one-year veteran minimums. The rest of them are all out there. So Chris Paul, who has a player option, but nonetheless, like we talked about, if you have an option and you haven't declined it yet, that means you have a second year. So you have to be protected. So Chris Paul, yes. DeAndre Jordan, yes. Blake Griffin, yes. Jamal Crawford, who they just re-signed, yes. Even though his age is a bit of an issue.
He might have an attitude if he weren't protected. I think he would be one of those people like, why aren't you protecting me?
Yeah, the problem is, though, like I am protecting Austin Rivers and Wesley Johnson. And people are like, well, Wesley Johnson was like one of the worst starting players in the league. Why would you keep him? Well, the reason why is because they look at the bottom of it. You've got 39-year-old Paul Pierce, Luke Mbamute, who is, you know, at best a bench guy, Maurice Spates, who was a decent player for the Warriors, even though I thought his numbers were inflated, and then Bryce Johnson and Diamond Stone, who were their draft picks. So it's like, that's the litter that you're picking out of. So, like, you know, that's why, you know, keeping Wesley and Austin makes sense. But then we've got two more slots, and we got four more players: Pierce, Mbamute, Spates, and Bryce Johnson, and also actually a fifth player, Diamond Stone. So who would you pick? You have two more spots.
To unprotect or protect?
To protect.
Let's see, Crawford, Rivers, Johnson, Spates and Johnson. Spates and Bryce.
I have the exact same thing.
Diamond Stone, like, you know, a rookie is just a 7-foot rookie. You know, we don't.
And he's a second round pick. Yeah, I mean, if you don't want him, you can let him go anyway.
Pierce, they're not going to take him. He wouldn't be offended. And Mbamute was valuable, but, you know.
He's a guy that I can see wind up, like, in an expansion draft. I could see him, like, at the very end getting plucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see he would be the one in the war room for me in Seattle where at the very end I'm like, do you think we need a guy like that just for the purposes of filling up the roster? You know, that kind of a thing. He's not a super valuable player, but defensively he's not bad. And he's just been around the league for such a long time that he might have a veteran voice. So, kind of an interesting situation. But, yeah, we're in agreement. Paul Pierce, Luke Mbamute, and Diamond Stone are out in the open. Pierce might be retired by then, to be honest. For the L.A. Lakers, this one's actually kind of interesting. But it's actually really easy when you get to the top six, because now that Kobe Bryant's out of the picture, you got Luke Walton now as the head coach. You're in the middle of the youth movement, and, you know, Adam, they got this youth movement right here. Like, they got like six guys. Would you agree? Where, like, you just cannot let them go out there and potentially get plucked away. And let's start: Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, who they just resigned to one of those, you know, arenas provision deals, Larry Nance Jr., and Ivica Zubac.
See, you are higher on Zubac than I am. He just falls under second-round pick. If he weren't on the Lakers, he would have stayed over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fact, well, we need a body, so come on over. You know, I would keep Luol Deng because...
That's what it is. You got, for me, there's two more spots. Those are six guys I think I picked out.
Well, yes. Luol Deng and Mozgov you have to keep because those signings have to be part of the GM, you know, Kupchak's, his vision of the team.
But say there was instant regret for one of those deals, like Mozgov. Is there potential to just leave him out in the open just so that you can get out from under that deal? Because that's where you're
that might just
million.
Be one of those now your relationship with him is damaged. And you don't – well, we just signed you, but no, we're not going to protect you. And, you know, well, now the whole relationship becomes strained and – now he's essentially worthless to you.
Yeah, you don't want Nick Young syndrome, where you got two more years and he's completely and utterly unhappy. By the way, Nick Young is exposed. Actually, he's always exposed, isn't he? He's definitely overexposed by TMZ, but in this case, by definition of this expansion, yes, he is exposed.
Let's just go from the down up. Anthony Brown exposed.
Yes.
Yijin Lian just recently signed, exposed.
Okay, what did Yijin Lian do for China except lose by 50 points that impressed people enough that he would get a contract to get back in the NBA? Seriously.
Chinese league, he's still good out there. And
I don't get it. The only thing I've ever seen him go up against is a chair.
Is it true? Well, you want him or a second round pick who's not going to play?
A second round pick who's not going to play.
Tickets. You can be on TV in mainland China every night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, remember when they got Sun Yu? Yeah, that worked out great too.
But you're on TV in Asia. You're selling merchandise in China. It's all same thing.
Enough about Yi Jianlan. So we're going from the bottom up. So who else? Huertas.
Huertas expose. He's, as he was decent, but he's 33. Mm-hmm. Nothing special. Nick Young expose. Tariq Black, I would keep.
Okay, which they just re-signed him to a contract, 2 years, $12.5 million. It's I understand that. So you would protect Black over Zubac.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Lou Williams, you could leave him out.
Yeah, and that's a guy, and I'm just gonna give it away now. Though, if for me, I would definitely pick him up if he was available. He's got that score factor in him that I would absolutely want.
Okay.
That's just he's got just enough. He's about to reach 30, and his contract's not damaging. It's 2 more years at $7 million a season. So it's not I know he's a bad fit with LA, but he was actually a pretty good fit with the Toronto Raptors when they went to the playoffs that 1 year. So I would actually take a chance on that. I understand why Lou and Nick Young would be out there. But, one man's trash is another man's treasure kind of thing. And so I can see an expansion team picking him up because even though he still has a lot to offer, and the Lakers could use him, but they don't necessarily need him. Let's go ahead and talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. They have 4 unrestricted free agents coming up. One is Zach Randolph. I'm not sure. Do you think Zach Randolph plays past next season?
Maybe.
Tony Allen, the other one, I'm not so sure. I think Trick or Tony. Vince Carter, this is the last year for him probably. Jamichael Green is on a minimum contract. The rest of them are all out there. And this one's actually kind of easy. It actually kind of – the hard part about the last slot is that they really didn't have a lot of depth. So I was winding up protecting a player that I wasn't sure I really needed. Mike Conley,
yep.
Chandler Parsons,
yep.
Marc Gasol,
yep.
Deontay Davis, who they just signed.
Yep.
Even though he was a second-round pick, he got guaranteed money, which is actually it's the richest contract ever for a second-round rookie, so they obviously like him. Wade Baldwin, the fourth, they invested in him as a backup point guard. Got to keep him. Brandon Wright had an injury-riddled year, but you got to keep him. Especially with Zach Randolph being,
Not that, but just the list at the end, it drops off considerably.
Yes. Jarrell Martin, yes, I would keep him. Here's where I think it gets interesting between you and me. I think you wanted to protect Jordan Adams.
I protected Jordan Adams because he's rookie and
his injuries are very alarming. Like I think he has another fracture in his foot, and they don't expect him to start until maybe until the new year. So I'm not sure where Adams is at on his progress. That's the problem for him. So for me, I definitely went away from that.
And that's, Troy Daniels, he's bounced around on a couple teams already.
I'm surprised he got a 3-year contract. That when I saw that, that surprised me. But he's a 3-point shooter, and they needed 3-point shooting. So
James Enos and Andrew Harrison.
Andrew Harrison obviously goes. James Enos is a decent – he is a true small forward, so you can put him in the spot that Tony Allen is in and that Lance Stephenson was in when they were playing that makeshift mash unit in the playoffs when they got eliminated by the Spurs. So, you know, Enos being there makes sense.
So who would you leave out? Who did you
– I left out Jordan Adams, Troy Daniels, and Andrew Harrison.
So you protected Enos.
Yes, yes, I did. I saw him play for the Pelicans for a while, and I liked him. You know, actually, the Heat had drafted him like right after they won their second title, thinking, well, we'll just get a backup forward in case LeBron leaves. But, you know, that's not going to happen, right? Well, it did. And wound up that James Ennis had to play a lot of minutes in Miami before they let him go. So, you know, you never know what you're in. You know, that's the funny thing about Cleveland. I was thinking about this. When Cleveland was drafting guys late in the first round in 2007, 8, and 9, they were like, well, it's not that important because LeBron's not leaving. Well, when LeBron left, those draft picks came back to bite him because they didn't get value picks. You know, you never know. Do you think that'll happen to the Warriors?
Warriors are 2 1-year dealish.
Yeah, like they get Patrick McCaw and they're like, well, he's a nice little piece, you know, but he's not going to be relied on. Well, you never know. Like, I'm not absolutely sure. I mean, this is a much bigger topic down the road, but I'm not sure if that Curry Durant thing's going to like absolutely click on all cylinders.
Well, we shall find out. Now we come to another tough situation in Minnesota.
Minnesota Timberwolves have two unrestricted for two contracts that will be expiring at the end of this season. One is Kevin Garnett, who's 40 years old. I mean, come on. I mean, if you pick him, I don't know what to say. And then Brandon Rush, who signed a 1-year contract out of Golden State. The rest of them are all out in the open, including Gorgui Dieng, who is a restricted free agent after this upcoming season. So let's just get started. Karl-Anthony Towns, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Wiggins, Chris Dunn, Zach Levine.
Yep.
Ricky Rubio. This is interesting. And I'm explaining this. A lot of people say, well, you drafted Chris Dunn so that you can replace Ricky Rubio, so why would you keep Ricky Rubio? Well, what if Chris Dunn doesn't work out?
Or you can trade Ricky Rubio as opposed to giving away for nothing.
Exactly. You got to think about that, too. There are some contracts where you might want to let him go because a lot of people did not like that contract at first for Rubio when he got $13.5 million a year. People were like, well, that looks like an overpay. Actually looks like an underpay.
Dunn will be good, but he will hit a rookie wall like they all do.
You know what Rubio is? Rubio's the new Mike Conley contract. You remember when Mike Conley got that deal right before the lockout? And everyone was like, why is Mike Conley making that much money? And then down the road, it was like, wow, Mike Conley, they're getting Mike Conley at a discount in Memphis. I think that's going to happen with Rubio. I'm not a huge fan of Rubio at all, but I think the Rubio, this is just my minority opinion. I think the Rubio Dunn thing can actually work. Like, I think they can actually play off of each other sometimes.
They could, but, you know, they have too many. They're a weird team.
It is. Right. Let's start protecting here in the nitty gritty part. Cole Aldrich?
I'd protect him.
Yeah, because you need a backup big for Towns. You can't just play him 40 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica, yes. I would definitely protect him.
He was the one. I think I would pick Jordan Hill over.
Okay.
Nemanja, because he was so disappointing.
Yeah.
He was so disappointing last year. I don't know if they're like, oh, we sort of regret signing him.
He had a couple of games where he almost got a triple-double.
Yeah, and then he also had like 50 games where he did nothing.
Let me say this about Shabazz Muhammad. I'm not like a super-duper fan of Shabazz, but there are some games where he looks very, very good. Like, he looks like a capable NBA player.
He looks like Gerald Wallace did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in Sacramento. Flashes, but
yeah. Pekovic, that is the dangling carrot. I would absolutely leave that out in the open with his it's not like Tyson Chandler or Omer Asik. It's not like one of those horrible albatross contracts that you just desperately can't get out of. Or like Josh Smith in Detroit before they stretched him. Like, it's 2 years and $23 million. They could potentially stretch him after this season coming, which makes sense. But for now, yeah, I would love to take the chance and expose him and see if someone will take him. I exposed Jordan Hill. You exposed Bielica. Adrian Payne exposing him is fine. Easy. Yeah. Tyus Jones, I really like Tyus Jones. He was very good in Summer League, but there's just no room for him here.
Nope.
You know, this is one of those it's not you, it's me things, you know?
Yeah, where, so that is just, I think if, you know, Nemanja was so good, why would you sign Jordan Hill, who's similar?
What country is Bielica from? Is he from Croatia or?
Is he Serbian?
I'm not absolutely sure. I was trying to remember it, and I just could not remember off the top of my head. But no, Minnesota's got, you know what this really tells me, Adam? Minnesota honestly has a pretty good roster, you know? I don't know if they're going to go to the playoffs under the new head coach GM Tom Thibodeau, but it's a good team. It's a pretty good team.
It is, but for this case, you know, you have tough choices. And
I'll tell you one that's interesting is that, you know, there have been rumors and rumblings that they might move Gorgui Dieng now that they got Towns in the mix, and then when they sign Aldrich and Hill, there were rumors popping up and down. Oh, well, that means they're moving Jang because now they got a logjam at center. But here's the thing. His qualifying offer comes up next summer, but it actually works out well for them if they want to extend Jang because they don't have to negotiate with any other rookies this upcoming season. It gets interesting for Minnesota in 2018 when they have to renegotiate with Wiggins and Levine, and then you have Towns a year later. But for this one, you can actually go ahead and protect Jang because you might be able to re-sign him. You know what I'm saying?
That and Jordan Hill is on a team option.
Yeah, and Pekovic will be off the books by then. Because I'm gonna tell you this right now. They're probably gonna stretch him anyway.
Oh yeah.
You know.
So okay, now we come to New Orleans Pelicans. Sort of easy.
Can I
Drew Holiday?
Can I disown the Pelicans, expose Anthony Davis, and then my Seattle apologists can pick Anthony Davis?
I don't think that would happen under any. The only way Anthony Davis would be exposed is if he lost his leg next, like in between now and like an hour.
Okay. You know the one really sad thing about this whole process was, even though as fun as it is that it kind of showed me the lack of depth on the team. But it is what it is. So let's just shave out the unrestricted free agents from New Orleans. Drew Holiday and Tyreke Evans, those deals that they signed in 2013, those will be goners. So even if they re-sign, they're not available here. The other ones are Alonzo G and Terrence Jones, who they got on a low-ball deal because Jones, his qualifying offer was pulled by the Houston Rockets. And now we have the rest of the roster to take care of. But here's where it kind of gets sad. Anthony Davis is your number one to protect. But you know who my second priority guy was, to be honest, Adam? It was Solomon Hill. Like, yeah. That was my second guy to think of. Like, who is the guy that I would really like to keep? And it was Solomon Hill. What does that say about the Pelicans?
Number three is probably, what, Etuan Moore?
It was. It was. And then it was Langston Galloway because you need a backup to Etuan Moore. Or a backup to Drew Holiday, at least. Because you already heard about Tyreke Evans, that his knee is in bad shape, and he's probably not going to be ready to start the season anyway. So it's not looking good for our boy Reek. Alexis Ajinka, even though I think he is overpaid, even at $5 million a year, like I would still keep him. Buddy Hield, yes. Chick Diallo, yes. Then it gets kind of interesting. I don't have a problem with exposing Dante Cunningham. I've sort of had enough of him. I would absolutely expose Omer Asik because I think that's a bad contract. I would just see if the expansion franchise would want to take him off my hands. You know, at center, $10 million a year is actually a fair deal. But here's the problem with Asik. His value has, like, he has devalued so badly in the last 2 years that he's not even worth the $10
million. Also, we already mentioned we have Gortat and Tyler Zeller on the center list, so
on your side, I believe so. Yeah.
Well, on just on the exposed list, period.
Yeah, general inventory. That, yeah, if you have those.
So, well, oh, hey, Ashiq, you totally want. No, I'd rather have Gortat, who's capable and good.
Yeah, and Boban and Naren Beans and Detroit, we talked about already. And so we have that one. Cunningham exposing him makes sense to me. It comes down to Quincy Pondexter and Tim Frazier. Frazier, they had before in New Orleans. He's like a more of a backup point guard. I believe he played for the Celtics quite a few times. He had originally played at Penn State. And Bondexter was a guy who had decent outings with Memphis, and then he went, and then he was traded to New Orleans. The problem is his injury history has been really bad in the last year or two. I'm not absolutely sure. I would expose Pondexter and protect Tim Frazier, because I'm just having this like vision in my head of all the injury problems that the Pelicans have had, and I would absolutely just not want to keep anybody that has all these injury problems, and Pondexter is definitely one of those guys that I would just burn out.
All right, moving on to the tough one, Oklahoma City.
Well,
oh, I'd also take Pondexter over Frazier.
Like, you would protect Pondexter and let Frazier. Like, did you saw Frazier in Boston? Did you like him?
He's nothing special.
I know he's not. That's why it's just like the Pelicans. Nothing special. Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay, Kevin Durant's already is done. It's gone. We're in the Russell Westbrook era. Is Russell Westbrook going to be? Is he going to be the first ever unanimous fantasy number one pick?
No, somebody will take Harden.
Dude, Russell.
Or there'll be some idiot who'll say, I got Durant or Curry.
You remember when Allen Iverson took, like, when Jim O'Brien took over in Philadelphia? And his numbers just exploded, even though he was putting up great numbers already under Larry Brown. But Larry Brown played that slower style. And then when they got the new coach, they were like, oh, man, Allen Iverson's going to blow up. And he kind of did in 2006. I think that was the year that Kobe got like almost 36 points a game. He had the 81-point game that everyone talks about. But what people forget is that Iverson actually averaged about 34. You know, that was his highest season. And I feel like the same thing's going to happen with Westbrook, where they're just going to fucking unleash the fury. You know, like, he's going to go all out, you know, for you know, 48 minutes in every game. But anyways, Russell Westbrook, who just renegotiated an extension where he gets $26 million a year now, absolutely protect him.
All right. Let's just Ilya Sova, Nick Collis, and Anthony Morrow are off the list. They wouldn't do anything anyways.
Yeah, Nick Collison did him another favor, like Udonis Haslem did with Miami, where they don't have to have that conundrum because he's on a 1-year deal all the time.
Okay, let's just get the easy ones, like the non-protected: Ronnie Price, Mitch McGarry, Josh Eustace.
I didn't even know Ronnie Price was on the Thunder again.
They just signed him.
Yeah, Mitch McGarry has had the drug problems. He's already suspended for to the start of the season. No reason. I think they're just going to just let him go. You know, just like, look, if you want him, take expansion team. If you want him, take him. Josh Eustace was a they literally wasted a first round pick because they didn't have the money to pay him. They didn't want to use the money to pay him on the salary cap. So,
and didn't feel like taking a euro, which everybody else does.
Exactly. It didn't make any sense. But let's talk about the ones that you absolutely protect. Cameron Payne. Yes.
Westbrook. Payne, Cantor, Oladipo.
DeMontis Sabonis, who they...
Sabonis.
And I'm going to tell you why, because he was one of the parts of that deal that traded when they traded away Ibaka. You can't just let him go away, you know? Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets interesting. Alex Abrines, I would definitely keep. Like, yep. Try to keep. Victor, and here's where it gets interesting. You've got three guys that were all drafted in the 2013 draft. Two of whom were drafted by the Thunder, and one that was drafted by Orlando and traded in the offseason to Oklahoma City. And they're all going to be restricted free agents at the same time. And that is a GM's nightmare, having three good to elite players who will all be given qualifying offers at the same time. Because whenever you have a really good player or a good player who is at the end of their rookie deal, those rookies are not going to be looking to take the qualifying offer. They're going to be getting pretty good offer sheets across the board. So there's the potential that you might lose all of them if you don't want to spend the money, or you have to be very selective on who on whom you're going to spend the money. So you got Victor Oladipo, Steven Adams, and Andre Roberson, who is actually a pretty big – people don't understand how big of a piece Roberson was to the Oklahoma City's success.
Yeah, he started. People forget that he was there, you know, obviously with – you don't need all scores, so he had to be – you know, he's a Tony Allen of Oklahoma City pretty much. So, well, who do you got left?
Okay, for me, obviously you got to protect Steven Adams. He's going to probably make over $18 million a year. But you got to keep him. Victor Oladipo, I don't know how good of a fit he's going to be with Westbrook in the backcourt, but he is a talented player. I have a bunch of different theories of why it didn't work out in Orlando. Not all Oladipo's fault. I would try to keep him. And Andre Roberson, I would just leave out in the open so that I just don't have that issue on my hands. Like, I could just take Roberson off the board, even if it makes my team worse, which it will. I would take the chance of letting him go so that I don't have to worry about trying to extend him and blowing up my cap. They literally had to cut people, Adam, this summer after Durant had already left just to max out Westbrook. Yep, I mean, they are maxed out. You can thank Kander for that, but because he's making $17 million, but that's the reality of it.
So basically, you'd keep Singler over Roberson.
Yeah, even though Singler being exposed is very, very like enticing, because he has four more years, he makes $5 million a year, and he's a below average NBA player. Like, it makes sense to leave him out there. But in terms of the scenario that Oklahoma City's looking at next summer with three restricted free agents, all of whom will get salaries of $10 million or more, it makes sense to expose one of those players.
Okay.
You know why? The reason why is because they will, one of those players that you expose will get picked.
I agree 100%. So, all right, speeding up here, moving on to Phoenix and their disorganization.
Bledsoe and Knight have to be protected.
Bledsoe, Knight, Chris Bender, all protected.
No, not there's no player named Chris Bender. It's two players, right? Marquis, well, Chris, and Dragan.
Same position, pretty much. It's Tyson. Basically, that's, you know, that's
Devin Booker. It cannot go, like, not a chance.
Booker as well.
Alex Len, you have to protect, even though he's not the greatest player. You know, you got to.
He's still developing.
You got to develop him. Tyler Ulis, I would keep, and I would let Jenkins, Goodwin, and T.J. Warren walk. Leandro Barbosa, I don't even understand why they re-signed him. I would just let him walk away. It gets interesting with Tyson Chandler, because I think that's a terrible contract. I would definitely expose that contract, but I don't know if they're going to pick the contract.
Nope.
You know,
they could very well take nobody. It's just sort of a, well, who do you, you know, it's sort of a PR thing. Like, well, we need to make him happy. So basically you would keep Dudley over Warren.
Yeah, I don't see the value anymore in TJ Warren. I would just let him, I would just leave him out there in the open. You know, and Dudley, I think Jared Dudley's value was overrated in free agency, where people were talking about as a 3-and-D guy when he was signed by Phoenix. But I don't think he deserved $10 million a year. But, you know, he's a veteran leader. They need that in Phoenix. They need some consistency. He can provide that. I would just go ahead and let Dudley stick around, protect him, and just kind of leave Barbosa out there, TJ Warren out there, and definitely Tyson Chandler. Like, I think they, and that's one of those contracts that I think they immediately regretted.
Tyson Chandler, well, yeah, they regret it because the whole point was to get Aldridge, and if you fail on that, what good is he?
Well, it's the same thing that happened with Houston. They didn't get, I think it was in 2014, they didn't get Paul Pierce. So they just went with the next best one, and that was Trevor Ariza. And I'm not saying Trevor Ariza was a bad con, or actually, you know, I take that back. It was Melo. Remember, they didn't get Carmelo Anthony, so they were like, okay, so we need a small forward. So let's take the next one on the market, and it was Trevor Ariza. Same thing happened with the team that we're about to talk about now, the Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, this team is a cluster.
They tried to go after Chandler Parsons. He went to Memphis. So they took Evan Turner. Well, the Evan Turner deal might be the cornerstone for what we're looking at down the road will be at least for 3 years, a taxpayer team. You know, so Paul Allen, he's got the checks that he can write, but boy, he's going to have to write a few more than normal. They have no unrestricted free agents. Even Mason Plumlee, who has a year left on his rookie deal, will get a qualifying offer. But it gets kind of interesting from there. But let's talk about the players that we have to protect because it's the whole team. Damian Lillard.
Yep.
CJ McCollum.
Who, of course.
Here's the thing about McCollum's contract, though. It kicks in next year. So when you look at the cap this year, it doesn't look so bad. But here's the problem. His contract, his salary blows up from $3.2 million this year to up to, I think, $18 million next year.
It's
up there. And he deserves it. Look, listen to me. CJ McCollum deserves what he's getting. He's a stud. But it's going to kill their cap because they signed Evan Turner to a 4-year $70 million contract, and then they matched the offer sheet from Brooklyn for Allen Crabbe for 4-year $74 million contract. Turner and Crabbe will be combining to make $34 million a year.
Yep, and I think you have to protect both Crabbe and Turner because, well, you just signed them.
They're your small forwards. You can't let them go now.
Exactly.
You let Batum go, you know, in that trade, which kind of worked out for both of them, you know, for Charlotte and Portland. But you can't let another small forward go. You signed a 1-year. You let Gerald Henderson walk, so now you need something. Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless. We were kind of convinced that both of them, that at least one of them would leave, or that they wouldn't have room to sign them. Well, they signed both of them. It's like when you bring your kid to the toy store and back in the day, and they had a Genesis and a Super Nintendo, and you're like, I don't know which one. And then the dad says, well, son, I'll give you both of them.
And then you realize you have one TV and can only
And that's what happened with Portland, man. They overspent on Turner and Crabbe, and then they re-signed the other guys behind them. So now they're fully capped out to the point where Mason Plumlee, who's making $2.3 million this upcoming season, he's going to blow up to about a $13 to $17 million guy because he's a good center. But they don't have the money. They don't have the cap threshold to keep him. If you keep him and re-sign him to that money, you're going way over the tax. You're like going a Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors mode, you know?
So who's your top eight then?
My top eight are Lillard, McCollum, Crabbe, Turner, Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu, Festus Ezeli, even though it's just a 2-year deal. And then I would actually go ahead and protect Mason Plumlee anyway, because I would rather get that 1 year out of him for a playoff push. And I would expose Myers Leonard, Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, Napier, Pat Connaughton, Luis Montero, and Jake Layman.
Wow, we have a completely different team on this one.
Okay.
I have Leonard because I'm protecting him because you have no center.
Well, you have Ezeli, unless you left Ezeli out.
Ezeli has injury issues, and there's a reason he only got a 2-year deal.
He started on an NBA championship team, or the greatest regular season team of all time. I'm sorry. Sorry, Khalid.
Yeah, and then then disappeared, and, you know.
Oh, he was badly exposed in the finals. Badly.
Yeah, so I got Lillard, Crabbe, Turner, keeping Leonard, McCollum, Mason Plumlee, because he's the only cheap player you have left. Vonleh, because I think you have to just...
And he's a cheap contract. Maybe you can leave one of those other expensive contracts out there just to get from out of the cap threshold, get under the cap threshold.
And here's my logic. The last player I protected was Al-Farouq Aminu because he can play the four, and he's a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I would absolutely keep Aminu. Yeah.
So exposing Ezeli, Davis, Harkless, Layman, Montero, Condon, and Napier, Shabazz is.
So the biggest difference is that you would expose Harkless and Plum and Azealie, and I would protect them. I would protect Azealie, and I would protect Harkless, and I would let Leonard go.
All right, now to a clusterfuck in a different direction, Sacramento.
Can we just let all of them go?
it's, you know, Collison, Omri Caspi, and Lamar Patterson.
Didn't Darren Collison get into a tussle with a domestic abuse just recently?
Something like that.
Yeah, so we don't even know, because obviously with professional sports leagues now, with the discipline on, with all the awareness with domestic violence, you don't know what kind of suspension is going to be left. You might get the Jeffrey Taylor treatment, you know?
Yeah, you could, but let's try to pick this apart.
DeMarcus
Cousins, gay, a follow, you save.
I know everyone's like, well, maybe Cousins isn't worth the headache, but he's an all-star. You can't.
That's not even a thought.
Yeah.
You give him away for nothing because he's a head case. Oh, you have teams who are willing to trade.
And Rudy Gay, too. Like, Rudy Gay is unhappy because he gave that interview where he, like, slammed the Kings organization. He's like, I don't even know who we signed and all this stuff. But I wouldn't just leave him out there. You know, even at $13 million a year, I think Rudy Gay's still a good player.
Trade him and get something good for them both.
Exactly. Kufos, I would protect. Aaron Aflalo, I would protect. Willie Cauley-Stein, I would protect. And then it kind of gets interesting because I think we've already talked about five guys that we would protect: Cousins, Gay, Aflalo, Kufos, Stein, and then you got three rookies that you got just this past summer: Georges Papagiannis, Malachi Richardson, and Scalabissiere. And then you got veterans that you brought over: Garrett Temple, Anthony Tolliver, and Matt Barnes. And then right there in the center, you've got Ben McLemore. Mm-hmm. So who do you protect? I would protect Garrett Temple, Scalabissiere, and Georges Papagiannis. And I would expose Richardson, Tolliver, Barnes, and McLemore.
I would say, okay, we're going on a youth movement. I got to keep all my rookies.
Okay.
So Temple, Tolliver, Barnes, and McLemore are all exposed.
So you would just leave them all out there, which I was thinking about too.
I would, you know, it's that calculated risk. Like, okay, Garrett Temple, I like him, but
he's overpaid.
Who else is on that? You know, who else is on this list that we possibly might lose to? You know, okay, there are other players who are more attractive.
Well, Tolliver's second year is non-guaranteed. I think the same thing for Garrett Temple. I'm not absolutely sure about that.
Probably not.
You know, so it's We also – did you talk about the fact that Darren Collison, Omri Caspi, and Lamar Patterson are not – yeah, they're not available for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Darren Collison is going to be available for a while. I would absolutely – I think McLemore would get scooped. Even though he hasn't proven anything, he's a small forward. He can play the three. The problem is he's just got nowhere he just doesn't fit in Sacramento. A lot of people don't fit in Sacramento for a variety of reasons, but I would not. I think the McLemore experiment is dead.
All right, now to another experimenting team in transition, the elder San Antonio Spurs.
It's kind of weird calling them a team in transition. But because they're the model of consistency and success.
They were, but Gasol 36, Tony Parker 34, Manu Ginobili 39.
Wait, Tony Parker looked awful in the Olympics. Awful, like scared me to death watching that.
Yep.
LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard, Pau Gasol, who they just signed. I know he's 36 years old, but he's still a very good center. Danny Green, Kyle Anderson, I would protect.
Oh, yeah, Manu Ginobili, Patty Mills, and Jonathan Simmons are not.
Yeah. Patty Mills played very well for Australia in the Olympics. I wonder how that's going to translate over, because he might get a little bit more playing time than Tony does down the road, you know. But Ginobili, yeah, he gets that kind of blown-up contract with the one-year $14 million. Did you hear that the Sixers actually offered more?
Yep.
When I heard that, I was like, I'd actually kind of think about that. But it creates sort of an interesting situation here. Kyle Anderson, would you protect him?
Yep.
Okay, DeJounte Murray, their rookie, would you protect him?
I'd protect both rookies.
What about their new signing, Dwayne Dedmon?
Nope.
I would keep him so that I can have a backup big for Gasol. and I would expose the rest. Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans, Patricio Guarino, David Lee, who they got for nothing, and Livio Jean-Charles, who's a rookie.
See, I would keep Livio Jean-Charles over Deadman. That's just the big...
Yeah, you know. Deadman is 26 years old, 2 years, $5.8 million, so he's making less than $3 million a year. Livio Jean-Charles is on a rookie deal, like we were just saying. He's from France. He's coming off of an ACL injury from like a couple of years ago, and he just hasn't looked the same since then. So I'm not really sure. I didn't like what...
The only reason I'm protecting him is San Antonio wouldn't have brought him over unless they were content, and they seem to know international talent.
Yeah, so maybe they know something we don't know.
That's sort of the only logic I could have is I need to trust them. They seem to know.
And do you think if they expose somebody like Livio Jean-Charles at an expansion team would jump on it thinking, oh, we can take away one of their, you know, kind of like Splitter and Scola. You know, like how Splitter wound up being a pretty good player, and then Scola was the one that they left out in the open, and the Rockets got him.
Yep.
You know?
That you might be onto something.
Now let's talk about the last team in the Western Conference that we're discussing, the Utah Jazz. Interesting team because they sort of changed their dynamic a little bit. They were the youngest team in the NBA last year, missed the playoffs by a couple of games, but they added a little bit of veteranship to their team. George Hill, Joe Johnson, Boris Diaw in a trade. When San Antonio was shedding cap so they can get Pau Gasol. So let's just kind of just go down the line of who's the unrestricted free agents down for Utah. George Hill, who they'll probably re-sign. Shelvin Mack, Joe Ingles from Australia, and Chris Johnson, the guard. Those guys are off the board here. So let's talk about the ones they would protect. Gordon Hayward.
Hayward, Favors, easy.
Favors, do you think they'll renegotiate and extend him too?
Yep.
I think so too. I think there will be a weird – here's the problem. They're going to wind up paying Hayward and Favors more than they did on their previous contracts. And they thought that Hayward was overpaid. But now I think Hayward's probably going to make over 20, maybe 20.
Well, Hayward's going to make a max.
Yeah, 23. And somewhere between 23 and 26.
I could see him leaving, so I think they're going to try to lock up Favors.
Because he's got to be protected because he's got the player option. But it's likely he's going to decline the player option. Whereas with Favors, he's in his prime now. It's better to just rip up the contract and sign him and re-sign him right away so you can have that cornerstone of Hayward, Favors, and Gobert, you know, mm-hmm. And Rudy Gobert would you protect?
Of course.
Rodney Hood.
Of course.
Trey Lyles.
Of course.
Dante Exum.
Of course.
Alec Burks, the guard, who I'm not a huge fan of. But
yes, I would.
You know why? Because $10 million a year is actually not bad for a two.
He just needs to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's still only 25 years old. He's not an old guy.
Nope.
You know?
So we have Joe Johnson, Boris Diaw, Tibor Pleiss, and Raul Neto left. One spot.
I would actually keep Boris Diaw because of his relationship with Rudy Gobert.
Whereas I kept Joe Johnson because he provides the leadership.
That's a good point. Boris Diaw can too. He's got the championship goal.
He can too. They both have that, you know, the all-star pedigree, and mm-hmm. It's sort of an either-or. Diaw just, he looks a lot slower at his age.
Oh, he was another Frenchman that just didn't look right. Like, he looked like he was way past prime, you know. And he's got 2 years, Boris Diaw has 2 years, $7.5 million left, which is not a bad deal at all. Actually, I think he's earning $7 million a year, but that's a good deal. Whereas with Johnson, he's making $11 million a year. I would actually say, for example, Joe Johnson just is awful. And that Miami thing when he got cut by Brooklyn in the playoffs was – let's say the Miami thing was just kind of like a fluke. You know, just a thing where he just lights it up in the playoffs. I understand the idea of keeping Johnson – because of the fact that if you get to the playoffs, Johnson can be that guy. But Diaw can do the same thing. So it's a really tough position to be in.
All right. So now we have who do you got? Who are you taking?
To finish up my roster? Okay, I'll start on my end. And like I said, I already picked Michael Carter-Williams and Trey Burke at the point guard position from the East. In the West, I would add Tyus Jones to finish up my point guard spots.
Interesting.
Okay, for shooting guard, I would have, and they're all from the Western Conference, I would take Joe Johnson, Lou Williams from the Lakers, and Gary Harris from the Denver Nuggets. That would be my, those would be my two position guys. At small forward, I already have Jeremy Lamb from the Hornets. I would add to the mix Andre Roberson from the Oklahoma City Thunder and Ben McLemore from the Sacramento Kings. My power forward is already slotted out from the East. I've got Chris Bosh, Rashawn Holmes, and Tyler Zeller. I would add, for my last spot at the center position, I would add Omer Sheik and try to do my Pelicans a solid.
So your team is
It's a wink-wink deal.
Your team is going to be, like, bad to decent, mediocre for 2 years, and then just be too old to play.
Exactly.
So you got to start again.
By that point, if you're not garbage in those first 2 years, maybe you have enough clout that you can actually sign people. You know.
All right. I have, as we mentioned, I have Michael Carter-Williams and Ish Smith as my point guards.
Okay.
I will add Raul Neto as my third point guard.
The Brazilian from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not, or the Utah Jazz player from Brazil. Whichever way it works.
Because, you know, he's only 24, so.
Yeah, it works, and he got a lot of blow last year because of Exum's ACL injury, so he does have a lot of playing time on his hands.
Mm-hmm. As my shooting guards, I got Roberson.
Okay.
He, you know, that was the singular.
Yeah, I got him at the three, but you can mix it up either way.
The wings, either or.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ben McLemore, just like you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's you got people, well, maybe they just need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
All right, my small forwards. I got Mo Harkless, who I expose.
Okay.
So he's going to be sort of the cornerstone guy on my team. With Shabazz Muhammad.
Okay, so you like Shabazz Muhammad from Minnesota Timberwolves.
There's just too many young guys. I figure here where he can sort of be the guy.
You've got four guys that have deals coming up. Carter Williams, Roberson, McLemore, and Shabazz.
But my salary cap is so low.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the you sort of, you know, gave my thing away of maybe Santoni knows something about internationals, so I got Davis Bertans as my 15th guy.
Okay.
We'll take a flyer on him. Well, why would San Antonio bring him over now? Maybe they know something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take him, see what he can do. For my power forwards, it's just sort of disappointing, but in small ball, whatever. I just needed players who could play minutes, so I got Quincy Acey.
Okay, Quincy Acey.
Dante Cunningham.
Oh, thank you.
And Montrezl Harrell.
And Montrezl Harrell, okay.
As sort of, well,
and you see, now you understand why I didn't expose Montrezl Harrell on my end. Because I knew someone was going to pick him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and at center, any additions or you?
At centers, my last center is Joffrey Laverne from Denver,
which actually makes a lot of sense. But here's the problem with the makeup of the roster, on in their contract situation for Denver. One of those international players that they have has to be exposed. Like, you can't keep it's rationally impossible to keep Laverne, Jokic, and Nurkic. One of them would have to be out in the open.
Yep, so, you know, the way you're like, oh, well, you have a lot of roster things come up with Carter Williams, Muhammad, and McLemore. Well, these are all young guys. If one of those guys happens to become a Gerald Wallace-type star, bam, he's now our cornerstone of our team.
Yeah, like a Montrezl Harrell. Yeah, Montrezl Harrell has a very high field goal percentage, you know.
Whereas, I don't know the math on your team, but, you know, just having...
I have a lot of proven players... But a lot of way past prime proven players.
You have a lot of past prime and you're capped out. Mm-hmm. You are probably $75 million.
Well, that's because of the Bosch contract, Zeller's contract, and then the Joe Johnson $11 million. So it's you know, and Lou Williams is a small hit, not much. It's $7 million.
That's $47 million of $70 million on those five players. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the numbers of the rest of the guys, but one of those might have to be cut in the end.
But what I still like about Bosch, even though it might come back to bite you, is that you get him at max for three more years. So if he really – if it turns out to be a giant false alarm with the blood clots and he can play, I've got an all-star player on my team.
Whereas basically I just went with the Timberwolves from 2 years ago.
Okay, when they got rid of Khan. And
I got athletic players.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We both agree that we like Robertson. Like if you – like, if you wanted to start over fresh with a bad team, Robertson's not a...
Well, Robertson, Carter Williams, and Tyler Zeller.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I like Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb can provide a little bit of athleticism.
Jeremy Lamb was my 15th guy. I picked Burton's over him. Because I need one sort of developmental guy.
Yeah, I like... I decided to mix up the veterans with the young guys, whereas you just went basically all young, you know? Which is a smart thing to do too. It gets you. It doesn't put you in the quandary of having to pay out guys that out of the gate with your expansion.
You know, we're all again with Minnesota. We're all young. We'll all develop together. Look, Utah did that, and now they have turned the corner. Orlando was.
Do you worry about Minnesota down the line, like the same with the Oklahoma City thing, or do you think the cap is so high up now that they're going to have no problem affording Towns, Wiggins, LaVine, and Dunn, and all those guys?
Well, the thing is, you sign in trades. You can get something back from. So if they might not fit in, you have – yeah, you've got – as long as your cornerstones are – your two cornerstones right now are Wiggins and Towns. You're just finding that third one. Is it going to be Dunn? Is it going to be LaVine?
Is it going to be is it going to be Harry Giles? Is it going to be Jason Tatum? Like, you're not sure.
You know, because right now, where is LaVine? If you had to re-sign him today, what is he?
Like, how much would he make?
Yeah, what would you put him on the give him the market for?
$17 million.
So you'd give him 4 years.
$17 million. So for about what Luol Deng got, about that much. 4 years. So. 4 years. 74.
Okay, I have him a little below that.
Okay.
I would say 4 and 6.
You can hang it over the agent's head that he's got to improve his shooting, you know?
Well, that's the, you know, we're giving you this 4-year deal now, but he's still spotty. He's still unproven the same way, yeah. You know.
And that's where a good drafting like Oklahoma City helped him out. The problem is, and we've talked about this so many times, Pressy just did a bad miscalculation with the Harden deal. Because he dumped him a year too early. You know, he decided, okay, if you're not going to take this if you're not going to take this deal we have, we'll trade you immediately. They should have just waited it out one more year and then run the risk of losing him.
Well, the problem was you traded him for garbage like Jeremy Lamb.
Oh, thanks a lot. Just like my newest member of the Seattle Apologist, Jeremy Lamb, well, my starting small forward.
Jeremy, I did two versions of this. Version one, I had Jeremy Lamb. They're like, no, Charlotte's going to protect Lamb and expose Bellinelli. Well, do you want Bellinelli? And I also had Singler over Robertson. Mm-hmm. And it's just, well, if you make one change, it's like, well, I want this guy from this team. Like, I wanted Bellica, but I'm like, well, no, Muhammad's going to be a cornerstone of my team. So
yeah, yeah.
If I got rid of Muhammad, okay, I'm definitely taking Nemanja. But then, you know, it all trickles down. That's why it's fun and it was time consuming to be like, oh, I want him, therefore I can't take him.
Well, it's a puzzle, you know, but that's the funnest part. You have to try to put the pieces together. And then for some pieces, you got to drop them all back on the floor and start over, you know. So it's actually kind of fun. But that's going to be wrapping up this show. Do you have any sort of takeaways about our expansion? Who would win between... The loser would probably be the people who have to watch the game, but who would be a winner between the Albuquerque Albatrosses and the Seattle Apologists? Who would win?
Your team would win, but my
Seattle team has. Win?
You would win, but my team would be better in 3 years.
Well, you know what? Veterans are. I don't know who's better at tanking. Veterans who know how to not play hard. Without looking like they're not playing hard, or young people who don't know better and just suck.
Well, Well, you don't need to be a veteran. You don't need to do the Philadelphia let's hope for a top pick. You could just be like, oh, look, we got this guy. We didn't know how good he'd be.
Because remember, Minnesota did a brilliant tank job to get Towns right at the end of the season, if you remember that, where they were just – they weren't playing anybody good. They were playing Chase Budinger for 30 minutes.
Yep, and it's like Milwaukee. They didn't tank, and they've you have people like – you have lots of talent.
I've written about this on Place to Be Nation. The art of tanking is to do it at the right time. You can't just be – totally out front with it. You've got to pick your spots. You know, you got to know when to do it. You know, like the I thought the Lakers tanked really well. Like they hit it under the guise of, well, we want it to be Kobe's farewell. You know?
No, they didn't tank well.
Oh, you just
and we will get into this in season previews. They didn't tank well because their coach just completely fucked up the team by saying, no, I need to play Ron Artest over rookies because rookies need to learn what to do.
Oh, I think that would...
rookies are going to be bad anyway. Look at Denver. Denver did a good job tanking. Well, we got young guys. We know Moody.
Look at the bright side, though. By holding them back those 1 or 2 years, you get the new coach, and it makes those young guys so hungry to get out there and play.
Or it could just damage them.
To be continued. But this has been a fun show. You got anything before we get out of here?
No, we got season previews coming up with nice little summer break. This is a fun little thing to come back to. Mm-hmm. Good times.
All right, on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see y'all again.